We have Michael Johnson and Pauline Jennings from the Northfield Arts Guild this morning. Good morning, you guys. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing really well.
Yeah.
Good. Well. Good. What's new over at the Guild right now?
Well, I'll go first, because, you know, I like to. and the theater, you know, we just like to put ourselves out there. So I'm really excited about this because we're opening Shakespeare in Love in May.
Oh, fantastic.
And if you've seen the movie, you know how funny it is.
Yes, I love that movie.
It's not a Shakespeare, it's not a play by Shakespeare. No. It's about, made up about his life.
Yes.
And it's a love story, plus it's a comedy, and an identity humor, which mm-hmm. is always like laugh out loud, you can't hold your belly.
And Shakespeare enough. Was especially good at identity humor, and they really play off of
it. They do, they do. And it, plus you got the whole thing that back in the day when they were doing Shakespeare, when Shakespeare was alive, all the roles went to men.
Yeah,
right.
And so there were men playing women, and so you actually end up having a woman playing a man, and probably for some time at some points in the show, it's a woman playing a man playing a woman,
right.
But it's a woman playing a man playing Romeo. Yeah. And so it's hilarious. You can see the setup is just fabulous. And that is directed by our wonderful, wonderful director, Rachel Heider. She also is the one that created and directs the Purple Door Youth Theater shows. And the opening night's May 16th, and this runs for 2 weekends, our usual time and dates, Friday to Saturday at 7:30, Sundays at 2. And so get your tickets. I have a feeling this will be a really good a great seller, and it's not only great because the material in it, but it's also written by two incredible writers. So you get that. You get the very, 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 very clever lines like Shakespeare, and that's Tom Stoppard and Mark Norman.
Tom Stoppard, I love Tom Stoppard stuff, man.
It's clever, clever. Yes. Just He's knows fantastic. How to turn it. Yeah. He doesn't rely or fall back on easy,
right?
Yeah. The other thing that we have coming up right around the corner is our auditions for Flora and Ulysses. Flora and Ulysses is a book written by Kate DiCamillo, and this is a play based on that. And it's an adventure superhero story. I don't know how many times you've seen that genre on the Guild stage, like never. There's puppets. There's a superhero chipmunk and squirrel. Oh my God. There's a squirrel. Please, I hope Patsy Doo, the director, did hear that. Yeah. But that's very important. And the squirrel kind of ends up saving the day. And it sounds silly, and it is silly, but it's beautifully, again, beautifully written.
Yeah.
So it's so clever. And if you have read the book, and if you have not seen the movie, stream it. It's so fabulous. It got me on the first line, the 12-year-old talking back to a comic shop owner. And it was fabulous. So that's what we have coming up. And those auditions are May 3rd and May 4th.
Okay.
And the rehearsals begin in June 2nd, and there's roles from ages 10 to 80.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So please consider an audition if you're available for that show, which goes up in July.
You guys are so good at bringing in shows that have that massive age range, like there's a part for everybody in these plays. That's amazing.
Well, Shakespeare in Love, there's like 17. You're welcome. And theater committee, Shakespeare in Love, there's 17 roles. I mean, and really, you can do blind casting for that because of all the gender identity issues in the show,
absolutely.
Or not issues, but flipping. So we're very, very happy to bring shows in which you can have blind casting as we lean more and more and more into that as a society. It's how you are as an actor, not how you present necessarily, or how you can present and not necessarily who you are.
Absolutely. I just have to ask you, because you've got a poster here on the desk. You cannot bring anything into this office that says Star Trek and not give our
it's
Mike
so
Ryan
true. I am a little huge something to Star Trek
good.
Fan.
I'm
so.
Going to help. I'm going to lean on you to help me advertise this.
Sounds good.
And I brought this along just to announce it, because it's the first time that I know of, and I'm sure they've had comedy at the Guild years ago, but certainly in my memory, that we're bringing a comedy series to the Guild this summer. So instead of music, although we are having the Wozners June 28th, 27th, 28th, whichever is the Friday, but we're not having music, we're going to do comedy instead, because we think everybody needs to laugh a little bit more right now.
Absolutely.
So this is a parody of three Star Trek episodes that are improvised, and there'll be one June 14th, July 26th, and August 16th. They'll be different, but each one is an improvised episode of Star Trek.
Interesting. Is it based on the Next Generation series?
It's called The Next Improvisation. So yes. Okay. And look at the picture. Yes. Next Generation.
Okay, yeah. So they're going with that kind of that part of the franchise.
Exactly. So, yeah. That place in the timeline of that world.
The sweet spot of Star Trek.
Exactly. So keep your eyes open for that. We haven't started selling tickets, but I wanted you to know about it.
That sounds super fun.
Because I feel like even if you're not the biggest Star Trek fan, you would still get a real kick out of it.
Oh, I think it's going to be hilarious. In fact, people that don't like it almost probably would get as much.
Yeah, they would. I think so.
I think there's many people out there that love Star Trek that love to make fun of Star Trek.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. So this would be for them as well.
Exactly. I just ran into a Star Wars fan in your lobby that said Star Trek. There it is. And I'm like, okay, you people have to come to this. Right. Have a laugh the loudest.
I love it. That's awesome. Fun. Awesome.
Thank you. Give you your money back if you don't love it.
You know, the great saying in theater is dying is easy and comedy is hard.
Right? Oh, comedy
which is
so
100%
hard.
True. Mm-hmm. Improv is work is doing the hardest thing in theater without a net.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's when it does well, it's spectacular.
It is,
mm-hmm. and it can sometimes not go well, but that's fun to watch too. I mean,
it is
because the people on stage will roll with that too.
Exactly, yeah. Everybody's in on it, right?
Exactly.
And the only net you have is each other.
Yeah,
and that's the most important thing in improv when you're not doing a solo act is relying on each other to pick up what you're saying. That's the whole thing of yes and
yes,
mm-hmm. That you have to roll with in improv or it does not work.
Exactly.
And I think that yes, it's the expert level actors that are really good at improv comedy, and those people can do sad too. Robin Williams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, absolutely. Billy Crystal. I mean, they are the most, I think, intellectual actors too sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll find.
Well, and there's so much to work with within this because the characters within the Star Trek franchise are so well-defined and built out that there's just, it doesn't matter what character you get, you can run with it, you know? So I think they'll have a lot of fun.
100%.
Awesome. Well, we'll have to have a show just on this.
I mean, okay. Yeah, there you go.
Get a couple of the actors down.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be amazing.
Come in and do a little. Give us a little taste of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Michael, how about you? What's happening on the visual? Do we call it visual arts? Is that what we...
education too. Yeah. I mean, did you guys go to Arts a la Carte on Friday? Speaking of visual arts? It was my first time and it was fabulous. And they asked me to be a judge. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That's
thousands
fantastic.
Of fabulous pieces of art and I had to pick the top three.
Oh.
Tough job.
That's a tough gig, man. Arts a la Carte is... I didn't get there this year and it's so... I'm so bummed out about it because it's such a great event. It's fantastic.
I mean, it's like the best demonstration of what arts education can do for young people.
Yes.
And kudos to the teachers and the volunteers and the families for putting it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's anything like it was this year, I mean, wow. So,
was there one piece that just really stuck out to you? Like, maybe not even necessarily like the best per se, but just something that really captured
your
attention.
There was a piece, it was a poem, but it was about housing and the affordability crisis and homelessness. And
okay.
I wish I could recite. It was a long, beautifully written poem, also a watercolor piece. But this student worked with like the state. I mean, they're trying to advocate for housing policy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Through their art.
Through
this
poetry.
Has to be awarded. So I gave them an award.
Good. Oh, that's amazing.
Good.
And like, I mean, these youth are brilliant, right? Yeah. I mean, they need to be able to be the one speaking to our politicians right now. Not to get me going on Cheeto Puff Man, but there, like.
There is no, in my mind, if you want to start a political movement, right? You want to get people talking. There is no better medium to use than art to get those conversations rolling because it penetrates through all the BS and sort of speaks to your soul. So
absolutely.
I just met with our Young People's Theater Workshop staff this Sunday and they're so excited for the summer's workshops and the theater camp. So for those that aren't familiar, I mean, these youth ages like 3rd through 12th create their own skits together from scratch over 3 weeks and present it back to their families and friends. Cool. There's still a few spots left for both sessions, so sign up if you can. We also have a visual arts camp that we're experimenting with this summer that's just a week-long option for parents. So if you want your kids out of the house and want them making art with their peers, this is a great option. And it's been going on for years. 35th year for the Young People's Theater Workshop.
And
so,
I was involved with that the first couple of years I came to town when I moved to town in
when you were
1990 when I was 20, you know, in my 20s.
Oh, okay.
And and loved it then. And then I had to work full time, direct work and all that. But incredible program and strong. And these kids are absolutely amazing. So you have art a la carte, and what they come up with for these shows with their director is absolutely astounding. Yeah, and I would just like to say, give money to the arts.
Yeah,
because of this, and because it's more important than ever with all of us. And this isn't just for children. This is adults, including myself, more so my husband. I'm just saying, you know, that we're spending so much time alone with our devices that we need to connect. And yeah, arts is such a great place to do that.
It is.
And we have
a segue to our fundraiser on May 1st. And not just a fundraiser, it's also a fabulous event. Yes. Do you want to talk about the entertainment?
Sure. This is Jennifer Grimm and her husband, Joe Cruz. They played for one of the 411 concerts. Yeah. And that place was full and packed, and everybody left that theater in awe of Jennifer. She can sing anything. She can do any genre. She's an actress. She can mimic. She's she sings Judy Garland with big bands and is the country's foremost Judy Garland singer. I mean, they picked her to sing for the 100th year anniversary of her either birth or death. She is absolutely astounding, and so to get to see her in this nice little intimate space that is the music room up at the reunion is going to be a treat. So that alone is worth the price of admission.
Okay, and Joe, by the way, is no slouch musician.
Well, of course he's not. I'm a singer, so I like to lean into that. But Joe's fabulous. He can play. Yeah. And then Jennifer brings along a little a little snare and hi hat, you know, accompanies herself to have some groove on some songs, and it's a very special and magical experience to see those two together. They're married, by the way.
Yeah. So, and that's going to be at Reunion.
Upstairs,
5:30 to 8:30
on May 1st.
Yep. Yeah. It's a Thursday night.
You know what? I was just talking with my wife about that. I'm connecting the dots because I got an invitation from you. We're going to be there.
Yay.
Yeah,
and bring your friends.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're also going to recognize Catherine Norrie, who's been nominated for Minnesota Teacher of the Year. Yes. I'm not sure if we'll know by then whether she won, but very, very deserving. Excited to hear her talk about how important the arts are.
If she doesn't win, it's fixed.
Right.
She's not only an incredible educator and artist herself, she's also a great human being.
Yeah, she is.
She wants to help. She reaches out anytime she can.
Yep.
And we also have Fico on our team, who's been interviewing some folks about the Guild and about the importance of the arts.
Cool.
And he's going to be producing a video that we get to watch at that event. I haven't seen it yet. Super excited.
Well, a star corner for taking pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
With some glitter and some sequins. Why not?
I'm all in.
And we're also going to be launching fundraising for a scholarship fund. So just to be serious for a second. I mean, a lot of what we do is very low cost, but even at that cost, there's a barrier sometimes for families. And so we want to make sure that we have the resources to be able to offer those scholarships, particularly for our youth in need. Good.
That's exactly. Good. And it's also, if you have more than one child and you want to get them all involved, it does sometimes become a barrier. Absolutely. Mm. So I really nod and applaud Michael for getting this set up to raise money for this. And every area of the arts needs money all the time, and particularly now, I would say.
Yeah. And we were talking before we came online about some meetings we've had recently about the struggles that many of our neighbors are having. And just last night I was with community organizers, and people don't feel safe. Because of our national politics right now. And that makes me really pissed off. I mean, the safest place people feel is at home.
Right.
Some people fear to even go out their door to go to work.
Right.
So.
Right.
And the Guild is a safe space,
space
for everybody. Human dignity for all. I mean, we're all human beings.
Right.
And so we are, it's a safe place to be in theater, to do your art, to put up your art, to visit, to talk to us, anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for being such great advocates and supporters of Michael and I. You and I bumped into each other at that first meeting last week, and these are incredibly important causes. And thank you both for thanks to the Guild for being such great supporters of those causes.
Absolutely.
All right. If anyone wants to donate anything to the Guild, what's the best way to do this?
Go to our website or, you know, stop by. But we just want to see you at the event.
Northfield Arts.
Guild.org.
ArtsGuild.org.
Can I email you?
Yeah, or email me, Michael, at NorthfieldArtsGuild.org.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool.